Morning, SP. Morning, church. And good morning also to those who are listening online. Okay, let's start in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. We honor you. We glorify you for this wonderful day that you have made. Lord God, for us, your children, and our creation to receive, oh Lord God, your goodness, experience your goodness, and your love, your unconditional love. And today, God, as we come before you again, we thank you for your Holy Spirit giving us understanding of your word, your heavenly word, God, your word that is so powerful, strengthening us, giving us life, direction, oh Lord God, in walking in your kingdom, oh Lord God. So we thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us today with your word. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are going to continue studying in the book of Acts. And to give a quick recap, last time that we met in chapter 8, and there's a great persecution broke out of the church in Jerusalem that causes the church in Jerusalem to scatter, and they're scattered from the town and cities of Samaria and to all Judea. And we know that God uses this persecution in order to the plans of God will be carried out, which is this church should not be just concentrated in Jerusalem, that the church should be also be a witness to Judea and also to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the church in Jerusalem was scattered, and they preached in all the towns of Samaria and Judea as well, except the apostles stays in Jerusalem. The first apostles that came out or to reach out to other cities is Philip, which is later on called Philip the evangelist. And he went down to Samaria, and there he preached the good news of the word of God of the Lord Jesus Christ with signs and wonders and healing. And many believe and got baptized, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and got baptized. And then later on, Peter and John was summoned and went there so that they will lay hands to the believers so that they can receive the Holy Spirit. And later on, Philip, and as Peter and John going back to Jerusalem, they preached all the cities and towns in their way. So here we can now see the fulfillment of the calling of the apostles and the believers to be witnessed not only in Jerusalem, but also in Samaria, Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. And after that, Philip, by the power of the Holy Spirit, transported him supernaturally. The Holy Spirit led him to reach out the eunuch, which is in his way, to share the gospel and the good news. And then the eunuch believed and received the Lord Jesus Christ and got baptized. And after that, immediately the Holy Spirit transported Philip supernaturally, and he appeared in the place called Azotus, wherein this place is the neighboring town of Lydda and Joppa, which are this place have a great ministry time with the apostle and has been done in this place. So today we're going to continue by looking on chapter 9 of Acts. So please, let's read. And read along with me chapter 9 of Acts. Now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and requested letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any men or women who belong to the way, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he traveled and was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him, falling to the ground. So he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? "Who are you, Lord?" Saul said, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting," he replied. "But get up and go into the city, and you will be told that what you must do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless and hearing the sound, but seeing no one, Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could not see nothing. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. He was unable to see for 3 days and did not eat or drink. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in vision, "Ananias." "Here I am, Lord," he replied. "Get up and go to the street called Straight," the Lord said to him, "to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. Since he is praying there, in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hand on him so that he may regain his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to us, to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has authority here from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Ananias went and entered the house. He placed his hand on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." At once, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some time. Immediately he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues, and he is the Son of God. All who heard him were astounded and said, "Is it the man in Jerusalem who was causing havoc for those who called on his name and came here for the purpose of taking this prisoner to the chief priest?" But Saul grew stronger and kept confounding the Jews who live in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days passed, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learned of their plot, so they were watching the gates day and night, intending to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and lowered him the large basket through an opening in the wall. When he arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, since they did not believe he was a disciple. Barnabas, however, took him and brought him to the apostles and explained to them how Saul had seen the Lord on the road and that the Lord had talked to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. Saul was coming and going with them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He conversed and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers found out, they took him to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee and Samaria had peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. As Peter was traveling from place to place, he also came down to the saints who live in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." And immediately he got up. So all who live in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated Dorcas. She was always doing good works and acts of charity. About that time, she became sick and died. After washing her, they placed her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there and sent two men to him who urged him, "Don't delay in coming with us." Peter got up and went with them. When he arrived, they led him to the room upstairs, and all the widows approached him, weeping and showing him the robes and the clothes that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, he knelt down, prayed, and turning towards the body, said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her stand up. He called the saints and widows and presented her alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord, and Peter stayed for some time in Joppa with Simon, a leather tanner. Praise the reading of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, chapter 9 is divided in two stories recorded. Verse 1 to 30 is the story of the conversion of Saul. And chapter 9, verse 31 is stated that the church strengthened through the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and strengthened, and they are growing up in numbers. And chapter 9, 32 to 43 is the mission of Peter in Lydda and Joppa, which Philip, I believe that the Holy Spirit led him before to evangelize, because it is along near, and it is a neighboring country of Azotus. Joppa, and then the side neighboring is the Lydda, and then straight is the Azotus. So wherein Philip was led by the Holy Spirit to evangelize. Now we see this Saul conversion, or say the call of Saul in Damascus. Here we have seen how influential and how powerful is Saul, that he continued ravaging and persecuting the church, and now was able to secure a letter from the chief priest to pursue and to caught all those people who are following the way. Now, before they used the word way, the way is also pertaining the Christians or believer of Christ. Probably they used this just to hide and not totally open up, so that these people that's persecuting them, they will not easily identify. Though they named the Christians before as the way, in order. So this is what Apostle Paul are pursuing these people, these followers of the way, in order to prison them to Israel. Now, in his way to the road of Damascus, Jesus met him with a light from heaven flash around him, and heard a voice talking him and told him why he is persecuting. Now, we know that when people persecuting Christians or the Church of Christ, they are not persecuting us as personal. They also persecuting the Lord Jesus, as is also mentioned here. That Saul is not persecuting only the church, but he is persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord Jesus spoke to him in the road of Damascus. And notice that the people with a soul, they only heard a sound, but seeing no one. But it is, we read that a light is surrounding Saul, and voice is talking with Saul. But the people with him, they haven't heard a sound, and they're seeing nothing, but they are so afraid. This kind of scenario is the same thing happened in Daniel chapter 10, verse 7-12, when Daniel saw a vision with a man with a fine linen belt of gold, face like lightning, eyes like flaming torches, voice like a sound of multitude. Daniel saw this vision, but the people around him did not saw it, but they are so terrified, overwhelmed and terrified, and hid themselves. It's the same also when Moses, in 40 days and 40 nights in the top of the mountain, speaking to God. But those on the foot of the mountain, they only saw flashes of lightning and heard a thunder of sound. So this is possible, that when God gave us a vision or meet a person, even the people around us cannot see it, cannot hear the voice, but the people that the Lord shown vision and communicated with that person, he can see and heard clear sound and clear picture. Now, Saul became blinded for this encounter, blinded for 3 days, and he ate nothing and drank nothing. Notice how the work of God moving and directing to accomplish his purpose by giving a vision. As Saul is praying, God showed him another vision regarding a certain man named Ananias that will come to him and will place hands and pray for him so that his eyes will be restored. So they are separate place, but God put vision for both of them to accomplish the same purpose. So at the same time, a disciple in Damascus, probably is the one who is converted during the evangelization of Philip when he goes to Azotus and the neighboring town, named Ananias. The Lord gives him a vision, instructing him who's to meet and what to do. Upon hearing this, in verse 13, he made a petition, knowing who is this Saul that is the number one persecutor, and even right now in Damascus that is trying to capture and imprison all the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Saul that God are telling him to meet, and then at the end, the Lord overruled Ananias with the final command to go, Ananias. And Ananias went and to do as the Lord told him to do. Now let's pause a bit in this part. God works in a vision. He gave vision to Saul, and he also gave vision to Ananias. Now what is this vision? Vision is an encounter with God. Vision is you can see the images while you are awake or even your eyes are open. Something gaze at that is a spectacle. It's like watching an event happening but not in your own naked eye. Like imagination but directed by God and not your own. Vision has a clear conveyance and understanding of the message, just like Paul and Ananias compared to a dreams. So vision in a dreams is different. How will we know that the vision is from God and not in our own imagination? And I would suggest 3. God-given vision is lined up with the truth, meaning the vision will not contradict to the word of God. When we receive vision, it should be building up. It should be encouragement to the body or to the church. It will not contradict his word. God-given vision points to God. The vision that we receive from God is pointing to him. And the third, God-given vision is to accomplish his purpose, just like what he gave to Ananias and Paul. And there are so many visions recorded also in the Bibles. Now, the dreams is also an encounter with God, but it is being given while you are sleeping, meaning your eyes are closed and you are sleeping. This is the dreams that also God are given unto us, and it often needed interpretation. Now the vision is clear message that is given to us. The dreams often need interpretations. Just like what happened to Joseph the dreamer in Genesis 37. Pharaoh has a dream about pertaining to a time of prosper in a time of famine, wherein God gave this interpretation to Joseph. At the same time, the same thing with Daniel in chapter 2, when the king Nebuchadnezzar has this dream and he wants to interpret his dream without saying telling his dreams. And then God gave these dreams and interpretation to Daniel in order for him to give the meaning of the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar. So dreams oftenly needed interpretations, while visions sometimes, but mostly it is a clearer message that is given from the Lord. Now, what happened to Paul is a direct encounter with the Lord. The same encounter with Moses in the burning bush. The same encounter with Mary with an angel speaking to her regarding the virgin birth. And the same encounter with Zacharias while the father of John the Baptist, while he was serving in sacrifices in the temple. So there are also a direct encounter with the Lord, actual face to face, speaking and communicating to us or to his church. Visions and dreams is the one way God communicating to the early church. And I do believe this kind of communications, or God's communications, even now are very evident in this time, in this end time church evangelization and witnessing. Prophecy is another way of God's communications to the church by way of spoken words, channeling to the person with the gift of prophecy and not necessarily from the prophets alone. In Acts chapter 2 verse 17, said, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit in all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams." So this is Peter standing, reciting and giving this confirmation of this prophecy in the Old Testament, that in the days will come that the Spirit of God will pour out to all flesh, and there will be prophesying and visions and dreams. So that is why there is a vision and dreams, God's and prophesying that God are using to communicate, to directing, to guide his church. Now the rest of the story of Saul, he was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. He was immediately changed in him instantly. The courage, the boldness, and the perseverance of persecuting the church are now shifted to focus in proclaiming the good news and the gospel of Christ, even to the threat, even the death threat. Saul, no one will be stopping him, and nothing can stop him to share and preach the gospel of Christ. Amen. Praise God. Now chapter 9, 32 to 43 suddenly shifted to Peter's mission, wherein Peter's going place to place, and he come to a place called Lydda, wherein there he met a person. I said before that Lydda and Joppa is near Azotus. So probably this place also been evangelized by Philip, as the Holy Spirit leave him. Then he met this name Aeneas, which is a paralyzed man. And then the Lord, the Holy Spirit, led Peter to heal this person and said, "Jesus Christ healed you." And immediately this person, Aeneas was healed instantly. And then Joppa and Lydda is near town. So when the disciples or believers in Joppa healed that Peter is in Lydda, they sent two men to get him, because there's a name, disciples also Tabitha, which also Dorcas, is now become sick and died. So they asked two men to get Peter from Lydda, and then we can see here the first miracle that apostles of raising dead. So we see the signs and wonders that the apostles and the early church, that the Holy Spirit are giving them enablement. And this is also the one tool that God are using to evangelize and bring people to Himself. Signs and wonders, healings, and visions and dreams. How wonderful that the Lord are using these kinds of evangelism, healing, miracles, and signs and wonders. And I do believe God can still and will still do that today to His church. And as I call Sterling to lead us in worship, God can use anyone whom He wants to accomplish His plans. Even Saul, like Saul in your workplace, like Saul in your family who is persecuting you. You know, before, my brother, elder brother, is the one who first received Christ. And I am the number one persecutor of my brother. But praise and glory to God that probably because of his prayer, and I do believe because of his prayer, I was able to found by the Lord. I was found by the Lord and I was able to receive him as my Lord and my Savior. And now I'm following the Lord Jesus. So I do believe God can use any man to accomplish his purpose. And the early church so naturally doing supernatural healing sickness that is impossible to heal by a medical expert, raising the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the good news. This is the witnessing. And many believe in the name of the Lord. Today, let us ask and pray to our Lord Jesus Christ to have the same power of the Holy Spirit manifest signs and wonders and miracle healing for His church SP. For this is His church also. His church SP is the same power, is the same Holy Spirit residing to every believers in Christ to use for evangelization, for His glory, and for His honor. Let's pray about that church. The same power of the Holy Spirit that will manifest in His church SP. Let us pray and let's worship.
Love of God is an awesome God. in us, O God, He reigns. From heavens above, we've been stamped out, and love of God is in us, O God. Our God is in us, O God, He reigns. From heavens above, we've been empowered, and love of God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Yes, Father God, our God, our God is an awesome God, and He reigns. Yes, God, we thank You, Lord God, for the power of Your Holy Spirit to touch heart, to change the heart from the stony into the heart of flesh. Thank You, God, for reaching out even those Your persecutor, because You love them, those who persecuted the church, for You love them also, Lord. And help us, Father God, to continue witness to them, to preach the gospel, to share the gospel of Christ, in order for them to hear and receive the truth. And by Your power and authority, Lord God, that they will use them, Lord God, mightily in Your kingdom. Thank You, Lord God, for the signs and wonders that You gave, Lord God, in this church, in Your church, Solomon's Porch. And we are praying, Lord God, to more of the manifestation of Your power, signs, wonders, miracles, so that people, Lord God, will really see that You are God that is so loving, that You are God that is so powerful, that they may come to You and receive the good news of salvation in Christ Jesus. We thank You, Father. We thank You, Lord Jesus. We thank You, Holy Spirit. Let's go now to our prayer focus for today. Let's continue to lift up and pray in unity and by faith all those having cancer, those who are undergoing chemotherapy, and those who are going to have the surgery. Pray for God's miracles and healing, just like what God done in the early church to Peter, to Paul, and to the church. He is able. God is able, and there's no difficult and hard for Him. Let us pray. So also pray for those who are having illness and in need of salvation. Pray just like God said in Philip, He prayed for Philip in the church, a believer, to share the gospel of salvation to those who are ill, and not only to receive healing physically, but receive the greatest gift of all times, Christ's salvation. Let us pray. So also lift up those who are having infirmities. Pray God to just lay hands upon every part of the body that is having infirmities. Give full restoration, healing, strength. In the name of Jesus, let us pray. Also lift up those who are praying for jobs. Pray for God's provision. Pray God's open door for opportunity. They may continue to be a light and salt in the marketplace. Let us pray. So lift up our mission focus for today. Pray for Singapore, SP Singapore, for Pisan Kim, his family, and his congregation as they're going to have their church retreat. Let's pray for God's covering and protections. Pray for the speakers, the covering protections, and let's pray for the wonderful retreat that God will going to give to them. Pray also for Indonesian, the Spin, Pisalamat family and congregation. Lift up Pisalamat as he's taking his sabbatical, and pray for God's covering and protection. Pray that God will continue use him even in his own purpose to really share the gospel and bring Christ to everyone in every opportunity. Pray also for the Philippines, Spill, myself, Bernie, my family, and the congregation. Please pray that we will have this all volunteers meeting this coming Sunday. Pray for God's guidance, protections, a leading of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and pray for the growth of the spiritual growth of the Spill, and also spirit numbers growing in numbers. Let us pray. also pray for the healing, prayer and healing for our intercession, the well and the river. Let's pray. So pray for our local outreaches, Agape, Homi, Beach, and Recreation. Also lift up our SP 2.0, our building and resources, benefactor, and our vision fund. Let's pray. So lift up the pregnant mom in our community. Pray for God's covering and protections and good health both for the mom and the babies. And praying for the peace and joy with the parents. Praying for the smooth pregnancy term and even pregnancy and about even the birth day comes. Also pray for God's provisions and anointing as well to the doctors that is seeing the moms. Let us pray. So lift up our house churches that we're meeting tonight, CED, First Street, Macrovision, Olympic, Robin Hood, Ventris, and Westville. Pray for God's divine appointment of the Holy Spirit as they come to learn more and understand more about the gifting of the Holy Spirit, especially the gift of tongues. Pray that, you know, for the covering and protections. Pray for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Pray for God-centered, Christ-centered, and Spirit-led, and a sharing of their hearts. Pray for the blessings of God to be upon them. Let's pray.
us pray.
Father, we thank you, Lord God, for all the prayers, and we believe, God, that you have heard and it reached in the throne room of grace. We thank you, Lord God, for the answered prayers even now, God, that each one of the prayer, Lord God, that you will, in your perfect time, Lord God, that you will answer, oh Lord God, all those prayers. We thank you, God, for the praise report of answered prayers, Lord God, and for your glory and for your honor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God, and thank you, Holy Spirit. Glory, honor, and thanksgiving and praises belongs to you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Enjoy the time of your prayer and see you again tomorrow. Oh, sorry. You don't have EMP tomorrow. It's holiday. See you on Sunday.